What is this shift?
Boom.
Boom, boom,
Here we
boom.
are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Shift hit the fan. You're the fans, and we're part of the shift. I wouldn't say that
Which,
we are the shift,
well, we are the
but we're
shift we
part of
want to
it.
see in our own lives. We're the shift we want to see in the world, in our own lives. At least that's the way that I try to approach my life. I am the shift I want to see. So,
Create that
yeah, we
shift
are the shift.
inside and bring it out. Not from the out, in,
Yeah, we are the shift, and we hope we're contagious.
out. So prepare to be splatted upon.
That's right.
Shift
Be
splat.
shafted on. Oh. That didn't work as well.
Shaft shift. Kind of an interesting thought.
Every time I screenshot, I don't know the different tenses of screen shotting. So I just say I screenshot that, you
Screenshot.
know. yeah. So we pulled some cards. Well, we pulled a card, and then we had a secret hidden energy for you. And we've been thinking about that. Because now the tarot is telling us what you guys want to hear.
Or what I need to hear. Apparently, that's what today was
Yeah, and
about.
that's what it's turning out to be. It's what so that's why we're like, well,
Sent me into some deep thought spirals.
yeah. So the pull of the day was the Four of Swords. And the hidden energy is the Three of Swords. So y'all want to talk about swords today.
Shot through the heart.
And I'm
Or
to
stabbed in the
blame.
heart.
Yeah.
Stabbed in the heart today. Or unstabbed. Maybe this is
Yeah.
a thought for unstabbing.
Yeah, I think these three swords are you being unstabbed. As long as you stay in that stability of, the I noticed that it's like over your third eye, over your heart, over your solar plexus. So, mind, heart, and soul. And then the one that you lay on is the body, which, your it's like perfect that your thoughts would be, or your reasoning and all this stuff would be perfectly aligned with your physical, because that's where we pull our evidence of how life is going is based on the physical evidence of it. that just came to mind right now. Feeding off of what Elias said, but yeah, that you might have a tendency to make a lot of meaning of this, as long as you keep the thoughts, the mind, body, spirit, soul. Like in their realms, I guess. And you meditate on having them, shaping them, putting them in their proper perspectives, all that. I think that you'll be okay, especially if this is no longer hidden from you. That's kind of what I'm getting. Like, don't hide this and you'll be okay. They won't stab you. You won't hurt yourself. You won't
What is this that we're hiding?
Yeah. The thoughts, the things you intellectualize, the things you the thoughts that you're forming into specific, whatever it is, you're making meaning of what somebody said, what somebody thought, what you observed, what your you look at your bank account, it means a certain thing. You right, somebody says something and it means a certain thing about you, right? So it's, I think it's about, because the number four is supposed to be about stability. The stability of that suit. So this would be a stability of that, of how you think, you how you intellectualize, how in the thought realm, mind realm, I guess. So keeping things in perspective, in their proper perspective, rather than getting into your tendency of making molehills out of mountains. Wait, the other way around. Right? I don't know. That's my take. What do you think?
Yeah. So I kind of went almost a slightly different route than what I'm seeing with yours. I hadn't thought about the idea of meditating, but the way that I see him lying down and the swords hanging up above him is that he's about to be stabbed by those swords. Like, those are the threat towards him. Those are the things that he's contemplating, the things that are about to stab him in his heart, mind, spirit. And this is my, so I don't, I will say, warn everybody that my tarot reading is not based on anybody else's ideology. It is whatever comes out of my brain and whatever I see. This is my own applied meaning. So, if I don't make the right card meaning, then I don't really apologize. Just a warning. Well,
Same.
probably won't.
We're taught to do it intuitively. I am not familiar with the tarot at all. That's just from looking, and I'm trying to remember what certain things mean. But yeah, mostly intuitive.
Yeah, I have no prior meaning other than just like whatever I'm seeing. So I see those swords hanging down above the person, and I see him almost like he's sitting on his own grave, his own deathbed. Like, he's contemplating death out of the weight that is hanging above him. And in that picture that's to the, well, it was for me, it was the top left, the way I was looking at it in the picture. There's a child and a, well, I what I see as a child, a mother, and a castle or a home. And I see those as kind of like this, like it's this distant thing that's not physically with him right there. And I see it almost as both a weight and a hope. It's something that pushes him forward, but it's also the thing that's pushing him down into that grave. And the way I see him laying on that grave, his hands are not in a position where he's dead. His hands are clapped together. He's pondering. He's in that meditation state. And so he's thinking about these things all the time, thinking about those swords that are about to fall upon him, and almost wanting, like, putting himself down in that grave. And then I see the three of swords that are being stabbed in the heart. And I don't see those as somebody else has put those there. It reminds me of this TikTok video I saw recently of this person was saying that how your relationship with your parents is how you're going to see your spouse. And so I have thought about that a lot, and that's very true in my own mind. Like the relationship that I've had with my dad has become the relationship that I've had with my wife, and that's not a very particularly good one. But I look at that, and that's the image that I have created. That's the sword that I've stabbed into my own heart. And maybe my dad put that there before, but I had to create that image. That was the way that I interpreted his languaging as a child, and just my parents in general. And so I see three swords, I think, of the parents and the spouse, or the parents and the lover. And they're the ones who have, in many ways, they're the ones who stab us. But we can leave those swords there and feel that pain as our heart continues to pump, or we can pull those swords out. And I think that there's a so much pain to pulling the swords out, splinter. And you don't want to touch the splinter, but as soon as you pull that splinter out, it feels better. You feel relief. And so you pull the swords out, and there's going to be some bleeding that happens. There's going to be probably a lot of bleeding, a lot of crying and emotion and all this feeling that comes out when you pull that sword out. But you won't heal until that sword is pulled out. And so we have to remove these images of our parents, of our lovers, of our the people who have hurt us, or the entities that have hurt us in the world. We have to pull that out from ourselves and change the filter, the perspective that we're looking through. Change that perspective so that we can see that they're just people doing the best that they can. And change the vision that we have for them to create a new vision of what we want them to be, a new vision of what we want to see in the world. And like we were just saying at the beginning, we have to be the shift that we want to see in the world. It doesn't start from somebody. We can't change anybody else. That we have to leave there. Well, we don't have to, but we really can't do anything about their own free agency, their own free will to create and to do whatever they please. But we can change the light that we see them in, and change the hue that we, the light that we shed on them. And so we, in doing that, we pull ourselves out of that grave. We pull ourselves out of that weight, and we go back home to our family. We go back home to whoever, whatever home is for us. And we start to see things differently. We be that shift so that other people can shift in the way that they need to shift. And I don't know, that has a huge impact on me and like how I am seeing the world right now, and the shift that I need to be, the shift that I need to be looking through to help those around me shift. And I really like that idea of stability, because in a lot of ways, stability feels like a trap. It feels like the stable, like you encapsulate something to make it stable. And it feels like it's trapping you. But at the same time, we need to be able to take that stability and see the holes that are coming through, and poke through the holes and find our freedom. Where is our wiggle room? Where can we move? And where's our freedom and our femininity to create within the structure that's inside of us? And too much structure suffocates, and too much femininity just breaks everything apart, and we all just burst into flames, and we have fun that way. But a balance needs to be there. It doesn't need to be, but a balance is helpful to be there often. Have the structure, but have the wiggle room and the freedom to change that structure as needed. What are your thoughts?
I'm hearing that this is almost that this is almost a blessing then, because this, like you said, the stability is almost a trap, right? And it is. You get too comfortable, too used to your stuff. It's good that you have something, in the background, kind of nagging at you, your tendencies, that this is how we keep evolving and growing, and this is how we'll eventually move into the next thing, to level ourselves up if we don't get too comfortable in this, knowing that these could, stab us at any point and hurt us. I think it's perfect that they came together because, like I said, these are the three swords that are going to stab you, because you're solid in this one. You've got that perfectly aligned with your body. But the way you think about the stuff that's outside of you, ahead of you, in front of you, that affect mind, heart and soul, how you create, how you imagine, how you feel. That's all stuff that you get from the outside and what you perceive is in front of you. Yeah, I do agree that, like, this is sort of a thought, the it's almost like the if you could read their mind, it's pictured onto the screen. That's what it reminds me of too. And I noticed the little heart shaped on the sleeve, like, of the child. There's that heart too. It kind of ties these two together. Because they're all out there projected. That's your heart out there. And it is. I feel like we said similar things, except you were focused more on the mountain, right? And like you said, you feel like these cards are for you, and that's just how it ends up being. Like, we are part of the collective. These are pulled for the collective, but we're part of that, and it's definitely for each of us, as well. It definitely resonates. I know for me, I'm learning to be stable and steady in that, and I know my tendencies. I never pull this card for myself, by the way. This is the first time I've pulled this one. As I'm bringing myself to be a part of the collective, because that's what I want to. Like I said last time, I'm learning how to die for the sins of man, right? So it's bringing me more into the world, and knowing as a people of the world what my tendencies are, so I know what to die to and where to hold myself steady.
But yeah, and the things that are stabbing us in the heart aren't always necessarily the parents or the spouse or even just people. It could be our illnesses, it could be our struggle, whatever we're struggling with in life. Those are the things that are stabbing us in the heart. It could be past teachers that have stabbed us in the heart. It could be anything. And I really like that what you said, how you applied it to the chakras. If you think about what hurts the most in life, it hits those three chakras. Your mind, the things, the image that people create for you, that everything that happens in our body comes to our mind. This is the image that we see, the things that we feel, the world that's all around us is up here in our head. And then our heart is holds all the feeling. It holds the care, the things that we love, there's a reason we say stabbed in the heart. And then the gut, you get punched in the gut, and that's one of the worst feelings when you're getting punched. Those are the areas where you're going to be affected the most. You get hit in the leg, it hurts, but you're not going to crumple because of it. But someone hits you in your head, knocks the wind out of you, or punches you in the gut. There's a lot of sensation in those areas. There's a lot that is created, a lot of nerve endings in those areas, for one, but a lot of creation power that comes from those three. And pulling the swords out of those areas, out of our mind, out of our heart, out of our gut, and releasing all the tension that's being held and creating the discomfort that's there is going to help us in the future. And so you can do somatic work, you can do mental work with that, but finding the ways to unclench, untense those areas are going to help us to be more free, to get rid of the weight that's being held upon us. So we got to learn to relax, wiggle it all out.
It's so perfect, like how you said that. Like, you get hit in the head, you're discombobulated, you don't think clearly. You get, hit in the heart, it's heartbreaking. It's, you don't feel clearly. And then you get hit in the stomach, and it knocks the wind out of you. The wind is, your breath of life, how you create. There's just like, you can just keep going deeper and deeper into these things.
Well, and if you want to know the sign of a truly vulnerable man or a truly vulnerable person, it's bringing their heart out. It's that we think of a puffed up chest to pride or whatever, but what's that really symbolizing? It's saying, I don't have anything to lose. I am showing my most vulnerable part to you.
My boobies.
And yeah, like, come on, you can come at me, and I am free of whatever you're going to send my way. And I think that's, and it's not necessarily that, I don't know that that's the biggest thing that we want to envy in life, but it is a sign of being unafraid of what's going to come. And we tend to have that image of, we don't like those people who are puffed up, who have have their chest out and are prideful or whatever. But in some ways, there is envy there of, yeah, they're not afraid of what's coming. They're not afraid to act. And if we can unlock that for ourselves, not necessarily that we have to hold ourselves up high, and that can help. That can help us act in different ways. But if we can unlock our chest and unlock these areas that are inside of us, we can start to act differently in life. We can remove the fear and live differently, have a different, hold a different perspective.
Didn't one of our friends say that this is like a heart opening? It could be perceived that way. I think of that, like, you've it that's what you said just reminded me of that, like opening your heart, because sometimes that's how you open it, is by exposing yourself, by stabbing yourself, by creating those wounds, so that you learn to grow from them and heal from them, which again makes this sort of a blessing, right? That
Oh,
your
yeah.
tendency, your tendencies, what you feel are your weaknesses or whatever, they're always your superpowers in the end.
And what is growth, and where do you get growth and strength from? It's from tearing and breaking. You tear your muscles and they get bigger, they get stronger. You break a bone. I read this somewhere earlier this week, but if you break a bone, you're not going to break that place twice because it grows back stronger. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it fits what we're talking about now, of like, when you open up these areas, you create these little stress factors. My daughter was jumping off of things yesterday and she was complaining about how her leg was hurting. And I was like, your leg hurting now means that, in my mind, I was thinking this, your leg hurting now means that later on, your leg's not going to break from jumping off of things, from doing sports or doing whatever it is that she chooses to do physically. She's going to have stronger bones from those little that opening that happens, those little breaking, the massaging of our body, mind, and spirit. You know, as we use those and interact with the world around us, however we choose to do that, it doesn't mean we have to be open to everything, but however we choose to flex ourselves and to move and to grow is the way that we're going to grow, the way we're going to get better, the way that we're going to hone our skills.
Yeah, that reminds me of my when I had my knee reconstructed, my ACL. That's one of the things that they said too, was it's going to be stronger than it's ever been now. And I
Nice.
thought of like, yeah, I know I'm going to be, when I heal this situation, I'm going to be stronger than I've ever been in my life. Because of what I've had to go through, and learn to heal without medical care. I've had to learn how to heal this with what I have here, my mind, you know, my feelings, my friends, right? All things in here. And that's, I think, the best way to heal is to learn how to do it mentally, mastering the mind. Which I get that feeling a lot, mastering the mind here, which is what I'm all about. And I think it's perfect that I was abandoned by the workers' comp system, right? Because I do need to, and I do want to learn how to master my mind and master myself and not need anything outside of me to keep those swords right there hovering, knowing I know where they are. I know what I can do to hurt myself. And I can use them as tools, or I can use them to hurt myself. which is your thoughts. I keep thinking about the sharpness of our words and our thoughts and the impact words have in the world to either shape it or hurt it.
But yeah, there's something of like creating your words, like the way you speak is the way you're going to shape your world around you.
Shaping it with a sword.
You're sculpting it.
And you are the sculptor. Man, all these, you really can go
The world just goes kaput,
on
it
an
just opens
adventure.
up. Wait, what?
You really can go on an adventure with the tarot, huh? Just
Oh
with
yeah.
cards.
I want to get that tarot that's from the Native American person up from Alaska or somewhere.
The gentle tarot.
The gentle tarot. That one sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I think that's all we got. What do you think?
I think that's all. I totally felt it winding down because you can keep going and it just feels complete.
Yep, there's an end to every process that moves on to the next one.
We have shaped what we wanted to shape with these swords.
My little sword.
We have seven swords to work with.
What's the seven of swords look like, I wonder? I
Seven.
wonder if it correlates.
Next time.
Next time, we'll have to dig it out.
Yeah.
Anyways, all
Seven.
right. Bring the shift to the world, however you want to do it.
Be the
You are
shift.
the keeper of yourself, the keeper of your shift.
Yeah. Go be full of shift in the world and shape that shift. Ooh, that's why I call myself a shape, no, a shift shaper.
Shift Shaper. There you go. Got a new name, Shift Shaper.
That's what I call myself. That's my handle on Instagram.
Nice.
Shift paper.
I love it. All right.
With the swords. That's how I shape it. This is so
Go
perfect.
be people.
It's 11
Love the world.
perfect time to end.
Perfect.
Love
We
the world.
love you guys.
Ooh, shape it with your love. Ooh.
Shape it with your love.
Oh, yeah. All right. The end. Love you.
The end.
Wow.
Da da da.
Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.